Scripture reading is the first Psalm. Hear God's word. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall perish. This is God's infallible and holy word. Beloved in the Lord, Psalm 1 is a practical psalm. It leads the entire collection of songs. And by it we are taught that the Psalter must be read or studied for its practical effects, in order for us to achieve God's purpose that he has given to us. And Psalm 1 introduces to us the way in which we are to find happiness and fulfillment in life. That's a very common subject in our day. Everyone wants happiness. Commercials are filled with finding ways to be happy. Television puts before us pictures of those who are looking for fulfillment in life in various ways and avenues. How do you find happiness? How do you find your fulfillment in life as a believer in Jesus Christ? The psalmist suggests to us that it should be by meditation and delight in the way of the Lord, in the law of God. And he warns us also of the sure and the eventual and eternal ruin that will happen if we do not. And so the psalmist paints a picture here for us of two different ones, the way of the wise and the way of the wicked. And the question that we should ask ourselves as we come to this psalm and look at this picture is, which side are we really on? True happiness, how do you find it? Where is it? The psalmist begins by telling us that true happiness is derived from fellowship with God, and he's going to describe that first negatively and then positively in words that are probably more familiar to us than to many. But let's look at them again. Blessed is the man. Happy. Blessed. Blessed is the man who, here's the negative, does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, does not stand in the way of sinners, does not sit in the seat of scoffers. It's designed by speaking in the negative because, of course, like the Ten Commandments, which come off with negative overtones, you shall not. It recognizes the fact that we are to be dealt with because of our sinful natures. And so the advice is this: don't walk in the counsel of the wicked. What does that mean? It simply means you refuse to accept the world's advice. You refuse to expose yourself to ideas and attitudes of those for whom God has no place in their lives, in their thoughts. Don't get counsel from the world and from those who don't love God and revere him and honor him and glorify him. There are certain things that should simply be out of bounds, as it were, for the Christian, and that is what the psalmist is saying. Here is a man who, if he does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, sets his heart on that resolute path of godliness because he wants to avoid evil. This person has determined to be different in his realm of thinking, doesn't want to associate with those that the psalmist says we shouldn't associate with in terms of their philosophy, in terms of their understanding. Don't get the idea that we should not have any interaction with unsaved neighbors or friends. It's in that interaction, don't let their unbelieving ideas influence you. Their unbelieving conduct become a part of your life as well. The responsibility that you have for your unsaved neighbor is clear. You need to be involved with him or with her. but you need to be involved with him or with her to present to them the gospel of saving grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not what the psalmist is talking about. He's saying don't receive and don't become a part of their counsel. Don't accept the advice of the world as though it has something better to offer than God. No. Derive your purpose for life from the principles of the very word of God. Don't head in the direction of evil, but go in the way that is marked out before you in Holy Scripture. The problem that we find today is that even for Christians, increasingly they don't see the world as ungodly or as miserable. In fact, Psalm 37 and another place, the psalmist sort of ruminates on that idea. He says, man, look at the wicked. They got the bigger house. Look at the wicked. His business mushroomed 10 times over. Look at the wicked. They're prospering. Why is it that I'm trying to keep my feet from the path of wickedness and I'm not successful? And look at the wicked. They're prospering. And like the end of this psalm, the psalmist in another place says, if you were to sort of paraphrase it wildly, not to worry. The wicked are going to be off the scene under the judgment of God and they're going to pass away. They're like grass. They'll be swept away and burnt. Their prosperity is only for the moment, but the prosperity, the hope of the believer is for all eternity. So don't see the world through the eyes of the wicked, but see it through the word of God. Christians, unfortunately, don't see the world as miserable in sin. Christians want what the world has, and that's where the problem begins. That's why the psalmist says, don't walk in the counsel of the wicked. Don't stand in the way of sinners. In other words, a life that is characterized by evil. Refuse to associate with those who offend God. Don't let your moral sense, your moral compass, be blunted or your conscience become flabby. And it's tragic that we find those today, even in the church, who have allowed spiritual discernment to weaken or perhaps not to be there at all, not making distinctions on the basis of Scripture of what is right and wrong, but just going along with what's around them so as not to cause any waves. And the problem is that in doing so, they've grown closer to the mouth of the snake, and they become a part of the world system dominated by the power of the evil one rather than standing for what is right and what is good. The one who stands for right and for what is good is the one who has no common cause with those whose lives miss the mark, transgress the law. The one who stands for God is the one who is different in the realm of his behavior. To the unsaved person, the way of sinners that the psalmist says, don't go that way. To the unsaved person, that may seem wonderful and exciting. It's the track that they want to be on. The psalmist warns that it's actually the fast track to emptiness and frustration, as well as judgment in the life to come. Don't stand in the way of sinners. Don't sit in the seat of mockers. And he uses a term here that the psalmist uses elsewhere, and in Proverbs it's used as those who mock God, those who deliberately, without restraint of any kind, no fear of judgment in their minds or of the judgment of God. Those who mock God, the psalmist says, don't even get near them. Don't sit with them. The spiritual cynic who is merely sour grapes all the time, snaps, growls, bites, snarls like a mongrel dog at all things Christ-like and Christian. Scripture describes the mocker as one who reviles, who is contemptuous, insulting, reproachful and blasphemous, who denies God. That person, Scripture says, is incapable of discipline, incapable of rebuke, unable to find wisdom, and awaits judgment, and is vain to the point of arrogance. And there are those in our world today who would shake their fist, as it were, at God himself. But the man who is blessed by God does not associate, refuses to walk, stand, or sit with those who will pull him down and pull him away from the God of Scripture who calls us to godly living. That's the negative part. The psalmist then turns to the positive aspect of this picture and says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Having dispensed with the negative, now what is the picture looking like of the one who is blessed? Because that's how the psalmist began. Blessed is the man. Well, you could take that first part, blessed is the man, from verse 1, and say, verse 2, blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord. That positive aspect, that positive focus. He is determined in his own heart to be different because his desires are elsewhere. That is, not of this world. His desires are centered, are focused on the things of God. He delights in the law of God because it's through the law or the word of God that he hears of God's truth, that he receives the will of God for his life. He gets pleasure in the study of God's word. He thinks hard about it and seriously so that he can apply it to his lives. His heart is elsewhere than in this world because his heart is the heart of that one who by the new birth has been brought into the kingdom of God, and he delights now in knowing God and in loving God and in serving God and in the salvation of God that has come to him by free grace. And he obtains that delight, the psalmist says, through meditating upon the word of God. What shapes your life? What shapes your thinking? What shapes the desires of your heart? If that is not shaped by the word of God, you are not following this picture laid out for us by the psalmist. He delights in the ministry of the word of God. He's learned what Moses said to Joshua when he gave him the commission to take over and to lead the people of Israel. The scripture says in Joshua 1:8, do not let the book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on its precepts and consider your ways. In other words, absorb it and apply it. Take the word of God and use it as your guide for holy living. And the consequence of that, he describes in this passage in verse 3, you'll be like a tree. Looked at some trees at the whatever that store was the other day. They had all flowers and you could buy all these good things. And there's a plum tree there. And I thought, yeah, that'd be nice. Have a plum tree in my yard when it kind of grows a little bit and gets a little bit bigger. Then those little plums will come out. And you go out and you can pluck a plum off of the tree and kind of enjoy a nice, juicy, tasty plum. Because that's what plum trees do. They grow plums. And out in the back of your yard, if you have an apple tree, unless a blight comes or some other problem comes, come middle of summer or later in the spring, you should be able to go out and pluck an apple off of that tree and enjoy that fruit. That's what trees are supposed to do. That's what we're supposed to be like. Fruitful. He will be like a tree, a fruitful tree, but a tree that's planted by streams of water. Here's an image that there's a tree, but it's rooted and it's anchored so that it can ride out the storms unmoved to do what the tree is supposed to do, produce fruit. And that tree, nourished from that source of treasure, the waters of life, the streams of living water, will be not only a vigorous tree, a fruitful tree, but that's the kind of a tree that's a delight to its owner. I had a friend who had an orchard, and I watched him as he applied himself to that orchard, and he was very, very good at the little plants and the baby plants and making them grow and then put them out and the trees would grow. But I learned an awful lot. It's a lot of work. And sometimes the orchard owner would have to cut down a tree. It wasn't fruitful. Here's a picture of a fruitful tree. That's what it's supposed to do. That's what it's supposed to be. Fruitful, producing fruit. Do you see the picture? That's a picture of you, the righteous. Blessed is the man who is fruitful. Is that a picture of you in your life as a believer in Jesus Christ? Do you have the resources like the picture of this tree which roots itself, deeply nourished by that source of water that provides adequate nourishment for that tree to produce fruit? Is that a picture of you? Are you adequately anchored and deriving nourishment from the word of life, from the source of God's word, which is to be found as your only source of hope and strength? And through that word, you find that Christ is your strength in distress. Christ is your strength in anguish, sorrow, and darkness. Christ is your strength in all things, so that as you derive your strength from being connected to Him, then you too become fruitful. You need to be in touch with His word. You need to be rooted and grounded in Scripture. You need to have that Scripture thoroughly nourish your heart and life, so that with that ocean of supply for your hour of need, you will overwhelmingly be victorious and conquer sin when it comes calling in your life. That's the picture of the righteous person, blessed person, the picture of a believer in Jesus Christ. And then briefly, there's a contrasting picture. There are really two: the picture of the righteous and the picture of the wicked. The picture of the ungodly is presented here, and quickly, it's the character, the conduct, and the destiny of the ungodly that the psalmist highlights. The wicked are not so. Not so what? Well, they're not like the godly. They are not fleeing from things that are dishonorable to God. They are not rooted and grounded in His word, but they are like chaff that the wind drives away. They're not a tree, but they're like the chaff, the stuff that just, it blows away, because chaff is the worthless stuff. Chaff is what is unwelcome with the wheat. Chaff is a sign of an emptiness, of deadness, of dryness. It's driven away by the wind. There's no stability. There's no permanence. Man's real character in the hour of judgment here is pictured as being driven away by the wind, an inevitable doom to those who are the wicked. Their conduct, they have no foundation. They have no hope. They have no rock. They have no home. They have no God. They have no light. The wicked are not so, but like the wind, like the chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, their destiny is such: they will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. If they will not stand in the judgment, that's the psalmist's way of saying that in the judgment, a certain destruction awaits them. They will ultimately be deprived of all of their pleasures and facing what Christ Himself called an unending suffering in the torturous pains of hell. They will face the righteous judge, but they will face the righteous judge without a divine advocate, Jesus Christ the Lord, who stands for sinners whom He has redeemed, whom He has bought with His blood, and on their behalf covers with His blood at the throne of God and at the judgment, and says, they are mine, and no one will touch them. No, these will face that righteous judge. No divine advocate will be theirs, because they did not surrender to the lordship of Christ and to the Savior of sinners. And that's why the psalmist ends with this term in the last verse, verse 6, the Lord knows, which is the way of saying the Lord loves. The way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. He takes note. He loves. He delights in the way of the righteous, because the perfect judge sees the heart. He sees the heart of those who have come to Christ, who know Him as Lord, who have followed Jesus, and who are walking in this path of obedience to honor and glorify Him. Do you see yourself in this portrait? Do you see your life in this portrait that the psalmist has painted? If only those who are running from God would truly see this. The world says the Bible is foolish. It's out of date. You know, we have a more modern mind now, and we've come a long way. So enjoy yourself, the world says. Take everything you want. And if you turn to the pages of Romans 1, you'll see that in the day of the Roman Empire, the people did exactly that, and there was a downward spiral of evil and sin until the Roman Empire exploded in the judgment of God. But the psalmist has two destinies, not only the way of the wicked, but the way of the righteous. May the Lord lead you to surrender your life fully and completely to Him in that devotion to Him in the way of the righteous, that you may find your life described in the earlier part of this psalm, the way of the righteous, the way of blessedness. Blessed is the one who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Blessed is the one who does not stand in the way of sinners. Blessed is the one who does not sit in the seat of the scornful. Blessed is the one who delights in the law of God. Blessed is the one whose ways and whose life is known and loved by God. That should be the desire of every one of our hearts, that we may love God and serve Him. Amen.